Kim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder. Again, out for another day. She had knee surgery on Thursday. It was a success, but just taking an extra day to recuperate. She will be back tomorrow. Our friend Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune, his feistiness, joins us right now. Hello, Eric. How are
nice
you?
Nice to see you, Bill.
Nice
Doing
to see
very
you.
Very feisty today.
You look very feisty
yeah,
today.
I'll tell you.
I don't know
I've
what
already been
is.
In several arguments upstairs in the newsroom about the...
Did you start the arguments?
Maybe.
You didn't back down. I know that.
I didn't back down because I don't, because I'm feisty.
Right.
Let's start with Halloween tweets, though.
All right.
Before we get into politics.
Sure.
Because these are more pleasing to everybody. Yeah, you know, I collect tweets. Funny
I know
tweets,
you do.
So last week we had some good political tweets. This week I'm going to do some good Halloween tweets. This Halloween, I'm going to dress up as me from last Halloween when I dressed up as future me.
Oh, wait, that's what I am. I'm future me.
It blows your mind.
I didn't know that was
right
a thing.
There.
All right.
My daughter wants to be something scary for Halloween this year, so she's going to carry a school fundraising packet to every door. It's a good one.
Good.
One time I wore my brother's T-shirt, and my dad asked if I was dressing up as his favorite child for Halloween.
Oh.
That was Conan O'Brien, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, that's great.
Couples' Halloween costumes always end up looking like one person went along with it in order to save the relationship, which is quite true. And this is related to that. The worst part about breaking up right before Halloween is now I have to explain at every party why I'm dressed as half of a horse.
Beautiful.
If you really want to scare everyone this Halloween, dress up as intimacy.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
After a certain age, the only Halloween costume you'll feel like wearing is Brian Wilson's bathrobe.
Good.
Here's one. For your Halloween party, I'm going as a guy not going.
Oh, I like that. Somebody has just cashed out. Good.
I miss spooky and scary Halloween costumes. You can find slutty all year.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And the last one. Cashier, look at all this candy. You're going to have lots of happy kids this Halloween. Me. It's Halloween.
Beautiful. Yeah. All very good. All right, let's talk politics for just a little bit.
Just
we
a
had
little bit, yeah.
Something of a surprise, I guess,
oh,
thrown our way on Friday.
Unbelievable.
What do you make of all this?
Nothing. I make nothing
Zero.
Of it yet. I mean, I don't discount that it's going to have some political impact at the polls next week and as people are early voting this week. But as far as I can tell right now, there is nothing there. What happened was people are all familiar with this, but I'll go over it anyway for those who need a little refresher. But on Friday afternoon, FBI Director Comey said, you know, well, we found some new emails that are related to the investigation of Hillary Clinton. We don't know what's in them, but we're still looking into them. And then, as it turned out later in the day, according to reporting, these emails were on a laptop that was owned by Anthony Weiner, who's married to Huma Abedin, who is a top aide.
Mm-hmm.
To, I'm not sure exactly what her title is, but she's very, very close to Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And so evidently there are emails that Huma Abedin had sent on this laptop using the Hillary Clinton server, the server that has, you know, that she shouldn't have set up, that was a mistake and so on. So there's a question. They want to look at these emails, which is fine. I mean, that's part of their investigation. But when you announce this, it adds this layer of import to it that we don't know, and he doesn't know, nobody knows yet, whether there's anything there at all. It could well be, as the New York Times reported this morning, that these emails are just duplicates
yeah.
of ones they've already looked at. Because they have, they, you know, she turned over a bunch of devices that she used. This was not her primary laptop. Now, there are supposedly thousands of emails on there, but if it's a backup or if her email account is hooked up to this laptop, it could just be like, you know, I mean, technically I've got laptops at home and there's a desktop that's got my Gmail account on it, but I don't ever use it. It just, but if you go on it, you'd find all my old emails because Gmail archives them. So
mm-hmm.
we don't know what these things are, whether they have anything to do with, you know, this idea that Hillary Clinton was trafficking in things that were classified.
Right.
On our emails. So there's absolutely, we don't know anything about what this is. And for him to come out and say this 9 days before the election.
All right. So that's debate number one in this
right.
is it was Comey, in fact, doing his job in doing what he did on Friday, or does he have some sort of an agenda? What do you think about this?
I don't think he's got an agenda. I think he may have just thought that he had two choices. One was to tell people that he's looking at these emails, and the other one is to wait until he finds something. Now, traditionally in law enforcement, you don't say you're going to go look for something until you know what it is that you're going to you have some idea that you found something that's important. I mean, you don't, you know, they conduct investigations all the time. The feds conduct investigations, local law enforcement conduct investigations. The ideals of transparency don't require them to tell the public every step of the way what they're looking at and who they're looking at. They wait until they have a comprehensive set of data, some actual facts to leak. I mean, think of the Rod Blagojevich investigation, which went on for a long time. They didn't tell everybody they were eavesdropping. They didn't say, well, we're wiretapping and we don't know what we're going to find. They just did it. And they didn't say anything until they actually had information in hand. Comey had nothing in hand. His idea was, well, if I do find something and it comes out after the election, then this reflects badly on me and on the FBI that we were concealing this. But he doesn't have anything now. And now is really the important time because, you know, people are deciding who to vote for. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is going to shake the faith of any hardcore Hillary Clinton supporters or even people who have decided to vote for her. But if there are people who are not sure or not enthusiastic about voting for her, this kind of thing, it's a bunch of smoke, but I'm not sure there's anything behind that smoke right now.
Yeah.
And for him to come out and say this, the Justice Department strongly urged him not to because it violates tradition and protocol for them to come out and say, you know, we're conducting an investigation. Because anytime someone is the subject of an investigation, it's like saying you're a suspect.
Yeah, right.
It throws a taint on you that it's very hard to get rid of. And especially, like I said, and now it's 8 days until the election. And I just thought it was, you know, my feeling is that if you don't have anything, you don't know what you've got, you can't say, well, I'm looking at something, I don't know what it is.
Right.
That's not fair. That's not fair to Hillary Clinton. So, you know, it's possible that this move, which I think I look at it as him covering his own rear end.
Yeah.
It could end up tilting the election, which would be staggering.
Yeah. If you're Hillary Clinton, do you part ways with Huma Aberdeen at this point or do you ride this out?
I don't think you part ways with her because you don't know if she's done anything wrong. I mean, she apparently didn't tell the FBI about this laptop. But if it's her husband's laptop and she used it once or twice, it could have slipped her mind. Now, everyone is out there going, oh, yeah, sure, it slipped her mind. But, you know, she's dealing with her own laptop, her own desktop, her own phones, and she turned those over. And then to think, oh, yeah, once or twice I used my husband's laptop. You know, it could easily have slipped her mind. Now, I could be wrong about this, and we could find out in a month that, like, this is where they were parking all their illicit emails and all their Clinton Foundation stuff and all their, you know, all their classified information.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I think what you're going to find is there's absolutely nothing here, and that we may find this out in December.
Like,
oh, yeah, there was absolutely nothing there. It was a complete false alarm, but
it could have swayed the election.
It skewed the election, and it's possible. This election is tightening. Every poll that I've seen, we're now within the margin of error in a lot of swing states. We're the margin of error nationally. You know, a week ago when we were talking about this, it looked like, you know, Hillary was running away with it. This week, it doesn't look like that. And you know, part of that is that Donald Trump has not said much in the last week.
Isn't the word laptop incredibly ironic considering the fact that we're discussing Anthony Weiner?
Oh, God. The whole thing is completely ironic. I mean, Anthony Weiner is this, you know, legendary sleazeball.
Right.
No self-control.
Who could at this point, as you just pointed out, influence the presidential election?
Right.
I mean, it started out, he's a sick puppy, but at this point he could alter the course of America with this election.
Have you seen the documentary Weiner?
I've not. Everybody keeps telling me I need to.
It's really good. And it, you know, he was a prominent congressman from New York, and he gets into this sexting scandal and has to step down.
Yeah.
And then he's running for the mayor of New York, and he's doing okay. He's mm-hmm. getting some traction because he's a very good politician. I mean, say what you will about this guy. He's good on the stump. He's a good talker. He relates to people well. Adults.
Yeah. And people who are not adults,
people
we find
who are
out.
Actually in front of him.
Yeah.
And then another scandal breaks out, and this is what this documentary deals with is this compulsive man, and then of course just recently there's this third scandal that's broken out where he's allegedly been texting and sexting with underage girls, and so this is you know, comedy turned into tragedy, and then suddenly, you know, but it did seem very isolated in a way. It didn't seem like it was that big a story, really. It was
right.
just kind of lurid and interesting. Now it may be
now
one of the biggest
story.
Political stories, you know, of the decade.
Explain the omnipotent attitude that many politicians have, that no matter what is thrown their way, they can somehow dance around it or deflect it or ignore it. I don't know if any other profession has that many people involved that just feel like no matter what I do, I can get away with it.
Well, I think it's part of it is that when you, I mean, I don't know about with a congressman, but when you're at the level of someone like a Hillary Clinton or even a Donald Trump, even though he was in business most of his life, you have people who are deferring to you all the time,
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, everything that you want, you get, every whim you have. So that there's this sense that, that the rules don't apply to you. The normal rules of conduct don't apply to you. This is the big criticism of the Clintons, and I don't think that it is completely unwarranted. I mean, there's some sketchy stuff that they've done over the years. She was not my first choice to be the Democratic nominee. I still, you know, still wish it were Joe Biden.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
But you know, given that, I think she's still within the boundaries of a normal politician.
Right.
You know? I mean, and
right.
And my feeling about Trump is that he is way outside those boundaries.
Did you see this clip with Trump that came out over the weekend? And it's from years ago, but it's him in Australia making a speech in this huge auditorium in Australia. And he's belittling this former Miss Australia, and he brings her up on stage, and he's ripping her in a loving way, but it's very, very cruel. Have you seen any of this?
Yes, and then he makes like an orgasm joke.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really distasteful.
And he said that if she hadn't have introduced him, that's his beef with her is that originally when he was announced, she wasn't going to introduce him, but then she ended up showing up anyway. And he said, if she didn't show up, I would have said how stupid she is. She isn't, but I would have said it anyway, and it gets a huge laugh from the audience. Very uncomfortable.
You know, one of the most popular columns I've done this entire election cycle is one I wrote last week about Trump's ignorance of the Bible. You know, he's always waving the Bible around on his speeches saying, this is my favorite book. The Art of the Deal is my second favorite book. Nobody reads the Bible more than I do is what he says. But, you know, when people ask him, you know, like, well, what's your favorite verse of the Bible? He gives all these strange answers. The first time he was asked this, he says, well, that's very personal. I don't like to signal out in any one verse. And someone said, well, are you more of an Old Testament guy or a New Testament guy? And he said, oh, they're both so great. They're both, you can't pick one. Next time he's asked, he says, well, I really like an eye for an eye.
Oh.
I'm sorry. He does say that. That was the third time. He says an eye for an eye. Now, an eye for an eye is the Bible verse that in the Sermon on the Mount, it's an Old Testament verse. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus specifically repudiates the eye for an eye. He specifically says, you've heard this, but, you know, that no longer
is a better way.
No longer applies. Yeah. Another time he's asked, he says, I really like the part in Proverbs that says, bend not to envy.
Oh.
Well, guess what? Guess what's not in Proverbs?
That
is not in Proverbs. So there's this widespread belief that the guy has no idea about the Bible, and he's just making it up, and evangelicals are still going for him.
How about that? Eric Zorn is here. Yeah, he's feisty. Did you expect anything else? If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. Wendy off for today on WGN. Weekday mornings, it has everything you need to know and some things you need to see. It's WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news. It's Bill F. Wendy Snyder has a day off. Eric Zorn is here from the Tribune. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. Sure, there's a presidential election a week from tomorrow, but there's other elections as well, Eric.
It's really interesting if you look at what's been going on in the state. And again, it doesn't get the kind of attention that you might want, but we have, first of all, there's the comptroller's race, which is the only statewide race. They're pouring millions of dollars on both sides into who's going to be, you know, the person who writes the checks for Illinois. It's an office that people arguably think should not even exist. It should be folded into the treasurer's office, as it is in many states. But you've got this office, and it's become this proxy battle between House Speaker Michael Madigan, the Democrat, who's been there, he's been in charge 31 of the last 33 years, and Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. And so they are fighting it out on that battlefield. But also throughout the state, there's a whole bunch of state legislative races. The state house, every seat in the state house is up, and I think 2/3 of the Senate is up. I'm not sure what percentage, but in many of these races, the ones that are contested, they've also become proxy battles between Madigan and Rauner. And if you've been watching these commercials, and how can you avoid them? They're everywhere.
Constant.
And it's all, you know, Mary Martwig is a tool of Mike Madigan.
Right.
And every ad that goes against a Democrat who's running for the state, for the General Assembly, tries to make it look like they are best friends and you know, on the hands of Michael Madigan as he works their puppet strings or whatever. And the ads the ads for the Democrats attacking the Republicans all try, you know, to say Rauner Trump. They try to put Rauner and Trump together, which is, you know, I mean, it's not totally fair in that Rauner has not openly endorse or even said he's going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
But he hasn't said he isn't. And so they're
well,
using
the word,
that.
The clip that they use is him saying over and over and over again, because they keep rerunning the same line, is I will support the Republican nominee for president. He doesn't say Trump by name.
Right.
But he says that
he's the leader of the Republican Party in Illinois. And, you know, I understand that as a party leader, it's difficult. Mark Kirk, may his candidacy rest in peace, because I think he's done, the senator, because of what happened last week. We can touch on that if we have a second here.
Yeah.
But you know, he has actually come out and said he is not voting for Trump. He's going to write in somebody else or something, but he is not going to vote for Trump. He's distanced himself from it. And so has Bob Dold, who is the 10th Congressional District. Is that your district?
I think it is, yeah.
Up there in North Shore, with those fancy places where you live?
Yeah, and the mansions. The mansions.
He also has distanced himself from Trump. But it's hard if you're a state party leader. So, but the Democrats are trying to lump them together. Just touching on Mark Kirk, you may have hit this on your show, but on Thursday night's debate, Tammy Duckworth is talking about how she's a daughter of the American Revolution. Now she's half Thai,
right?
An immigrant, and her mother was Thai, but her father was an American, and they traced their lineage all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And Kirk didn't really get this, and so after she talks about this, He is given a chance to respond. He says, well, Tammy, I didn't know that your family came over from Thailand to fight with General Washington, which was it was either ignorant or racist, maybe both.
It was a strange comment,
but
wasn't it?
Has he
retracted any of that or not?
Oh, yes, he did. He apologized for it the next day. But the whole sense of it was that he had kind of lost control. This all plays into his whether he's still capable of being a senator after his stroke. It was such an ill-advised remark.
Yeah.
And he had been fairly aggressive during that debate. He had interrupted her some, and he had come on very strong, I think, trying to show that he was up to the push-pull of the Senate. And the headline of that out of that debate would have been, Kirk on the attack. It would have been but instead he stepped all over it, and then he lost some prominent endorsements.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a pretty big thing. Is that Steve Bertrand over
there?
Nope.
He's dressed like me.
Oh.
That's me. You're sitting over there.
It's a Steve Bertrand costume.
That's who
it's my
is.
Halloween costume.
Yeah, we have a great podcast, Bertrand.
Oh, I know. The Mincing Rascals.
Yeah, we let some other people on once in a while, but it's basically me and Bertrand.
And where can people hear this podcast?
It's on WGN Plus. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play.
It's all the rage with the kids.
Everywhere. All the kids are listening to podcasts.
The kids love it. Eric, thank you.
It's good to
have a good rest of the week. It should be exciting next week.
I wonder what we're going to talk about
Monday. We'll find out. Stick around. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff on WGN.